Hare Krishna. Today's question is from Nisringa Krishna. He says, there are 8,400,000 living entities. Out of that, 400,000 are human body. How do these 400,000 differ from each other? Are the superior bodies also classified in human bodies? Srila Prabhupada often quotes the verse Chalajal Navalakshani Stavara Lakshmin Sati Krima Rudra Pakshanam and so on. Chatur Lakshanam Anusham. Starting with aquatics, there are 900,000, and Chatur Lakshanam Anusham, and ended up with 400,000 human forms. Just recently, I was listening to a presentation by Sariputta Prabhu on UFOs, who was mentioning this topic in some detail. From that verse, we can see that the subhumans seem to very clearly all fall into animal, insect, reptile categories. And then all of the other categories that we know, human-like, are all the lower, middle, upper planetary system inhabitants. They all fall into the category of the 400,000. The original body is it's a sort of a contradiction saying human-like, because actually they're not human-like, they're god-like. All of these forms are form, as for instance in the Bible it said man is made in the image of God. They all resemble Krishna's original two-handed beautiful form, or Krishna's four-handed form, or so on. Man is made in the image of God. Nonetheless, it's described like that, manushyam, that they're man-like, or manushya, of the creations of like manu, human-like form. And the original form, of course, is that of Lord Brahma, who's the original creator. And from him, then through the Prajapatis, all different types of demigods are created. And these demigods also have human-like forms. Of course, they differ from our form in that they have extraordinary powers. They control the material elements. They can influence human beings. They can change form at will, a very interesting phenomena. Changing form means that we see that demigods assume one form, then another form. Lord Indra, in order to free himself from the sinful reaction of killing Vritrasura, enters into the fibers of a lotus and stays there for 10,000 years. We also read about Indra, for instance, taking the body of a bird to test Maharaj Shibi. So they have extraordinary powers, and they have also the mystic powers, eight mystic powers, Asita, Vasita, Prapti, Siddhi, and so on. And then they also have even the subordinate mystic powers, and there's another 10. So they can do so many other things, and they control the weather, they control the sunshine, they control the rain. They have great control over universal affairs. Beneath the demigods, the devas are the upadevas, and they have somewhat less power, they have somewhat less potencies than the devas. They're the Kinnaras and the Gandharvas and so on. They're known for traveling from one planet to another. And they're also very powerful beings. Sariputta Prabhu mentioned that they have three quarters of the powers of the devas. And of course, there are also many residents of the heavenly planets who are not officially in the category of the 33 million demigods, but they're also residents there, and so they also have godly or human-like forms, those living entities who will then sometime in the future fall down from the heavenly planets to earth. Beneath the Upadevas, we find there are ghostly beings. Ghostly beings like Pisachi, Dakini, which are different than ghosts. Ghost is a living entity who's deprived, who's died, but is attached to some form of material enjoyment, and so in a subtle body haunts a body or a place, and so on. But these ghostly beings are a community, are a society of living entities, and they live, interestingly enough, just 800 miles above the Earth planet. And then there are the Pitris. There are the forefathers, the deceased, those who have left their bodies and have yet to enter another gross body. They go to other planets where similarly they have different types of forms. Yamaraja's planet, for instance, is one of those Pitrilokas where people go to get judged. Judgment takes place, and then of course below that there are the hellish hellish planets. So there are the living entities, generally these living entities, demigods and so on, fall into the category of those who are predominantly in the mode of goodness, not always, but predominantly. Then the demons are in the mode of passion, rakshasas in the mode of ignorance, as well as other living entities. And then, of course, there are there's the earth, and what the earth is a long story. And the living entities who live here on this earth, we see that in days gone by, all kinds of human-like beings lived here. For instance, the Vanaras, who were sort of monkey. They weren't monkeys, but they were monkey-like. And when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharat, we see that a lot of rakshasas and all kinds of living entities lived here on this planet. They may continue to be living here. The difference is, was that then they were more readily seen than they are at the present time. And then there are living entities, humans below this planet. The demons live in their planetary systems below. In Sutala lives Bali Maharaj, who's the king of demons. I was just reading how Lord Vamandev in Bhagavatam, Lord Vamandev sent him down to that lower planetary system, and how at the next opportunity then he's going to become the official Indra. He was condemned, or at least sent to Sutala Loka by the arrangement of the demigods. Lord Vamandev cheated him of his kingdom, that he had conquered the demigods and had taken over the throne of Indra. But when the next Manu reigns, then again he'll be able to actually officially become the Indra. Bali Maharaj is there, and as well as there are the Nagas, who are in the form of serpents. One can argue that are they really in the human species? And the answer is, well, they take human forms. So they may be categorized as snakes, but they also categorized as humans. We see, for instance, the example of how Arjuna was taken down to Nagaloka by Ulupi. Then, of course, they had a son, and Ulupi took the form of a human. These Nagas take form as humans. And all the way down to Patala Loka, there are so many forms, human forms of life. So in, as I mentioned earlier, in days gone past, when people were more pious, they were able to see these various different types of living entities, even interact with them. Of course, we see that the Pandavas are born of a combination of demigods and humans, as are many examples of living entities in Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, and those stories. And from the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Imam vivashvate yogam proktama mahavavyam vivashvan manaveya pavra manuvipasuke pravit. It seems that our human species actually also came from higher planets, because our descendants are originally from Vivashvan, the sun god. And from the sun god came Vaivashvata Manu, who's the Manu, who's the sun, and then came Ikshvaku, and then all of a sudden Ikshvaku's here on this planet. So humans may have also descended onto this planet, not necessarily always being here. Anyway, but these are topics for consideration, but this is the different types of human beings that we find within the category of the 400,000. Hare Krishna.